Okay, so we got two last pieces before we have lunch. And the first one is to come back into your home groups and do a little bit of digesting together. Have people got these sheets about home groups with feedback on the back? If anyone hasn't got one of those, hopefully someone in your home group will have one. There are more at reception. But there are basically four questions that we wanted you to think about. If you want to make up your own questions, that's fine. So when I finish speaking, we're going to ask you to find your home groups. And you've got about 40 minutes. So if you're a big group, you might want to have the conversation in threes or fours rather than eight, so you all get a chance to speak and reflect. The questions that we suggest that you consider are something like, what were the highlights of the conference for you? You know, what's really been useful or interesting or exciting? More sheets there. Thank you, Joe. What were the highlights? Did you find any new pieces, any insights, any contacts, any brilliant new ideas that you hadn't thought of, fantastic inspirations? That kind of thing. So 10 minutes on that. Anything that was frustrating, anything that didn't go so well, anything that felt disappointing, anything that you might have liked to have been done differently. And then the fourth question is, what are your next steps? So give you a bit of a chance to think, how do you go back? You know, you're about to start your journeys back home. How do you take this back in your life, in your transition project, for your communities? Will we put pictures on the web?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yep.
Okay. I'm sure there will be evidence. So those are the four questions for home groups. You've got 40 minutes. We suggest that you don't stray too far. So find a space in here or in the bar or nearby, and we'll come and do a bit of a roundup after 40 minutes' time. And then we're going to make the big circles so we can have a full conference closing for the last hour. Any questions before you go? Everybody clear?
Okay. Could everyone now help with arranging the chairs in three concentric circles? Finish what you're saying, which is a good idea.
So we've got just under an hour to complete this extraordinary weekend that we've been having together. And I'm just going to say the shape of this last piece and then hand over to Rob, who'll do the first bit. So we're going to have three kind of reflection pieces. First from Rob on what he sees as being kind of creative, and hearing from you about what's been emerging, what's been sparking, what's new and exciting from these 2.5 days. I'm going to do something about the kind of design of the conference and how it's been holding this process over this weekend. And then Pete's going to do a kind of putting that into the wider context of transition. And then the last 20 minutes or so, we're going to have a chance to hear whatever it is that all of you have to say. So you're going to have a few short invites to join in with our three pieces, and then a longer piece for hearing from each other towards the end. Okay, so over to Rob.
Thank you. So, yeah, I was asked to just talk about some of the things that have been standouts during the last few days. One of them that I found really great was the input into the pattern language workshops that we ran, which is a work that we've been working on for quite some time, and it has been really great to get some feedback. And I'm aware that it's a bit like producing an album which people really love and changes people's lives, and then you then say, so what about the second one then, the difficult second album? And people say, well, I like the slow ones but not so much the fast ones, and then other people like the fast ones and not the slow ones. So it's been really lovely to see the sort of the depth of affection and usefulness that people have for that, and what's been put into that process. And so thank you so much to everybody who's put post-its up and added to that display in the hall there and added their contributions. And it'll be a process where your invitations for engagement and input don't just stop here. It'll be something that'll be going on over the next few months. And so thanks very much for that. Another highlight for me was the meal, lunch the other day with the group who were here from Brazil, and starting a conversation which kind of went along the lines of Peter and myself being asked, well, you know, we'd really like to hear your thoughts about how maybe how we do transition in Brazil. And we said, well, what are you already doing? So this conversation then went on, we're doing this and we're doing that and we're doing this and we're working in the favelas and doing. And it's like, well, you just keep doing what you're doing, really. I mean, extraordinary, really, 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 really heartening to see as well that thing of how we've started something as an invitation and as a pulse and as a simple model. And then the question we always get is, but how does this work in the developing world? How does this work in places that are non-English speaking places? And we always say, well, we have absolutely no idea. And it's not really for us to say, you know. And actually, it's been wonderful, the input that you guys have brought. So thank you very much for that. It was fantastic as well. The group, the young people's group, who showed the film, which I didn't get to see, but who then formed and who made a film about the tar sands, and then not only then formed an international youth transition group, but also then connected up with a group of young people in Minnesota who use the oil that comes from the tar sands. And those sort of connections have been really lovely to see happening. And also to the group of people who signed up and committed to helping next year's conference be much more child-friendly, which will be really, really interesting to see that happen. For me, one of the things that really struck me on the first day when I was sat on the Friday evening when people were lining up in the bar for curry, sitting looking at the queue going past, of the amount of people who are here who I'd never seen before at these things. So it's not that the same people are coming back and back every year, which either means we run really awful conferences that nobody ever wants to come back to, or that there's a whole new sort of flush of people coming through every year, and that's been really wonderful to see. And the breadth of people, the people who've been here, who've come up and said, I'm very new to this, and I felt very welcome and very included from the start. And also the experience that people who've been doing this for a while have brought has been fantastic. And I think also that for a very young movement, we've already reached a level of maturity where we can have explorations of the kind of depth that we've had over the last couple of days is really, really heartening, I think. Another kind of highlight has been that whenever I've sat down anywhere, Mike Grenville's been taking photos, like he's doing again. So so if you want to find any photos of yourself when you get home that you didn't take any, if you look up, Mike will almost certainly have taken your photograph at some point during the event. And also, I think it's been really nice talking to the people who've been guest speakers, who've come to run workshops here, who've come from organizations outside Transition, who we've invited to come and do workshops, and how they've gone away really inspired and really excited by what they've seen. They might not have been that familiar with Transition, but talking to some of them out before they've headed off home, how they've been really, really excited about that. The fact that we were able to launch Pete's book last night here feels like another kind of landmark thing, and I'm sure in subsequent events there'll be similar launches as the Transition library continues to grow. The roving singers yesterday, where are the roving singers from yesterday? As I was going around, there was roving singers wandering through serenading people, which was rather lovely to be serenaded, so thank you for that. And walking around yesterday around the gallery of all the different of all the amazing stuff that was put up, that was really very lovely as well. And also when the youth were presenting, and Mandy was down here. Is Mandy still here? I think they went yesterday. Mandy was stood down here, and her daughter was up there speaking, and Mandy was crying with seeing her daughter doing that. And as a parent, I was very touched with that. You know, when we see the next generation coming through and engaging, that was really lovely. And also, I really wanted to acknowledge the work that's been happening with Ed and with Sarah and Emilio and with Carl when he was here. You'll see when you get home, if you haven't been able to do it while you've been here, you'll see when you get home the incredible resource and document of this weekend that's been created online as this weekend's gone on. So if people, so there were workshops within an hour of those workshops finishing the photos, the whole recording was up online. There's interviews, incredible interviews with a whole range of people. Sarah and Emilio have made films which will be posted up online soon that you'll be able to see as records of this whole thing. So although we couldn't do a kind of Live Aid sort of live broadcast from this event, we've come pretty close, I think. And as well with the whole feed of tweets and blogs and stuff going on, it's been amazing stuff going on behind the scenes to make all that happen. And also, I think there was the, of course, there was the one event that was that was very took people to quite a dark sort of place and was came out of nowhere, and that was quite stressful and upsetting. That needed quite a lot of processing in the following day. The own goal against America, which I have to say is going to take me weeks after this conference, I think, to really work through that, because that was just replaying over and over in my mind. So, but. It's been fantastic. Thank you all so much. And really, the thing that comes out of this is all the connections and stuff. And I'm sure you'll all go away with lots of connections that you didn't have before that'll really help to enrich what you're doing. So what we're going to do now is for the next 3 minutes, there'll be roving microphones going round. So what we want is just a snapshot, so we can get as many people in as possible. What's something that you've seen or that you've felt or that you've observed? What's a little snapshot highlight for you of the last 3 days?
Raise your hand.
Any offerings?
A Buckminster Fuller quote. Create the new and wait for the old to catch up.
For me, it's something about being global and being local, and it is all one. Very much feeling at home. Very much experiencing all the newness of what's happening here, and also being reminded that what we're doing at home is what you're doing here. It's very heartening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Much more clarity on how to turn transition into livelihoods, which has been a big thinking point for me over the last few months.
For me, it was the film that Mike showed last night, Before Home, and at the end of the film, they had a list of all the people throughout the world, all the organisations that are involved in this kind of movement, and to see that list going on and on and on and on and on was just so heartwarming, to know that it's not just us, there are so many people in the world that are doing the same sort of things, and it's like, wow.
Hello, I hope this is right. I'd like to thank you all for the strength I've gained from meeting you all and meeting people who are like-minded, motivated, and it shows that we're not alone, and it helps me go back. It helps me go back with renewed energy to tackle the problems that I have in my particular area. And I'm very grateful to you all for that. Thank you.
I was very inspired by the guys from 9carats.org and a ready-made sort of package to engage with local businesses that everyone can take back to their own transition initiative and implement almost immediately without any real hassle. So I think that was incredibly helpful.
It was great to be reminded and confronted back again with the model of simplicity, openness, and inspiration that you have here.
What struck me is that through creating joy and abundance and magic in our towns, we can just draw more and more people in.
I'd just like to really say thank you to everyone that was watching football, playing football, and getting drunk late in the bar late at night. It was great learning about your lives and also redesigning the economic paradigm at 2 a.m. That's great. Thanks.
I just love that group process, the big group process, and I can't wait to take it back to my town.
One or two more?
I'd like to say thank you very much to everyone who offered free technology, such as this, and that some of the very best ideas were completely free.
My highlight came quite early when we did the mapping. Last year at Battersea, despite being 28, I think I was the sixth youngest person in the room. This year I was thankfully pushed a lot further towards the middle. So I'd encourage you all to engage with younger generations and youth, because there's a lot of enthusiasm, there's a lot of bright ideas. So find them where they're at, find them where they are, and get them involved.
Yeah, one thing which is really important for me is what Alexis said about the livelihood aspect, to develop that one. But on a short term, I'm coming from Paris, and we are in a very early stage, which is not comparable to what many of you have already achieved in your communities. But for me, the important thing is all the energy and the spirit that I got from you, and I can take back home and transmit to the people over there. And therefore, I can just say thanks a lot.
Okay, yeah, well, there'll be more space for any more things that you want to share on that towards the end. So the piece that I'm kind of holding in this wrapping up process is a bit of a reflection on the conference process. So I don't know if any of you have had any feelings while you've been here or been on any kind of a journey, but we thought we'd speak a little bit about that as we kind of wrap it up, and partly to give you some information from the team that put the conference together about the journey we've been on, because we've also been on quite an intense journey. So I just wanted to say something about how we designed the conference originally. I had quite a lot to do with that. Some of you know that one of my life ambitions is to integrate heart and soul, the kind of inner dimension of transition, really through our movement. So my sort of shape for the conference was that we'd do lots of meeting, lots of networking, lots of creative open space on the first day, have lots of nice footballing activities, that's my other passion. And then on day two, we'd do something that would be a little bit more deepening. So we took that, what felt like quite a risk to me, the experiment of that big group process, as a way of opening up some of the things that maybe are harder to talk about. What are the fears as well as the hopes? What do we see of the kind of predictions for collapse or for breakdown in our systems? What do we see about that, and how do we speak about it? So the kind of design that was embodying our transition principles of, if you open those sort of spaces up, you give the people somewhere to go and take the feelings, to talk about it. We had lots of experiential workshops on offer in the afternoon. So, you know, there would be a place to take all of that and hold it so that we came to the end in a nice digested kind of fashion. So the unpredictable factor was that I had no idea who Stoneleigh was. And there was a very strong pull in the team that she should be included, that she had really important information that would be useful. So against the kind of design principle of the conference, we ran her in parallel with open space, even though that contravenes the kind of open space principle, because it felt like it was really important. And it was the only day that she could come on. She couldn't come and do a workshop in a workshop space. And I didn't actually go to the workshop, but I saw the effect it had on the open space, you know, that there was a lot of people not here. We had 30 sessions, which wasn't enough last year in Battersea, and many of the tables were, you know, just one or two people or empty. And then I saw the faces of some of the people coming out of the workshop, and that sense of kind of trauma and shock that I could hear in what they were saying they'd been listening to. So I just wanted to invite, just quick reflections from you about that point in the conference. You know, how was it that this thing came into our conference, invited, but with an unexpected result? So, you know, as is the nature of life, you can't control what happens, and sometimes the shock or the thing that creates a big impact is something you're not expecting, or you haven't quite planned for it. So I'm curious, you know, just to hear, either if you were in that workshop or not in that workshop, or you weren't even here on that day, if you felt some of the ripples of that, what was it like for you? Again, we'll hear from as many people in just as a few minutes.
Okay, I thought it was very useful. I thought it was very real and very necessary because we do live in a very strange system, economic market with finite resources, and people are greedy.
Great, thank you.
I thought it was really interesting within a group of people who've become very accustomed to dealing with the potential crises from peak oil and climate change to have actually what that sort of breakdown might mean in a much more urgent and sort of immediate fashion.
I put in as my frustration in the previous session that for the first conference ever, I wasn't able to participate in the open space sessions, and I felt that that was a loss. I was part of the Stoneleigh thing. I didn't know who Stoneleigh was, and certainly I came out of that feeling shocked. I think it was a good experience, and I'm glad it happened, because it's enabled me to deepen what I'm taking back to my group, and I will be talking about what I think is coming to be called the third issue, which I really hadn't focused on before this conference. And although that comes with a sense of urgency that I have to deal with, I think Peter Lippman put it very well yesterday. We need to develop our relationship with fear, to which I would add we need to develop our relationship with blame. There was a lot of positive things in what Stoneleigh said, which seemed to have been missed out of the rapport, the reporting that's come out of that. And one of them was relationships are the most important thing. The follow-on session last night I thought was absolutely necessary. When I think about what happened on Saturday, I'm also going to think about what happened last night too. That's going to enable me to take it forward as a very positive conference experience.
Thanks, Nick.
I think the session on economics was completely necessary, but I was quite surprised that there wasn't a transition network response to it given to the whole of us. I know it was addressed in individual workshops, but we never had a central response to everyone here, which I think would have helped to clear things up a little bit, because the depression has gone through the whole event.
Yeah, I'd like to just add a couple of things. I thought it was really useful. I'm glad I went. I had the sense of shock and trauma. And it reinforced the main thing that I got from it is it reinforced this sense of urgency, which I think is so important. And transition already has kind of built in, but it adds to that and supports it. And some of the things, particularly this sense that we're in this really strange business-as-usual delusion that's about to kind of bottom out, just confirmed something I feel intuitively in my body. And it was really good to hear sort of that coming from a sort of academic standpoint. The thing that I think was problematic about it was, while she did leave us with some positive, hopeful things, particularly about community, as you said, I feel that coming from an academic standpoint, she was too attached to her sort of sense of certainty in one particular scenario, that this is what's going to happen.
Right.
And I think that sort of, we really need to hold on to that sense of what we don't know and that possibility.
Great. Thank you. Just one or two more.
Yeah, I think for me it was really important to hear that being said here at the conference and to see that response, with the big group process, how many people kind of shared some of that sense. Because for me, I've worried that there's a kind of gap between my perception of reality opening up, which is very much in line with what Stoneleigh was saying, that I was kind of drifting apart from where everybody else was. So it feels like we're all sharing those views, which was really good for me to hear.
Thanks. Last one.
In terms of the conference process, I think it would have been good if you guys had become united beforehand about introducing her, and probably knowing that she would have detracted a lot from the open space, it would have been good to prepare for that, to maybe cut the open space into one session, because a lot of people were let down. And to become more cohesive yourselves beforehand and then to have prepared a response or have a discussion, actually, would have been really great, knowing what she was about to say. Thanks.
Thanks. So I'd like to reflect that for me, our team feels very, very solid, And there was a real factor of unpredictability in what happened. So even though we were talking and planning ahead, actually there was something about the unknown kind of emerging that feels like it's a parallel to what happens, isn't it? So we've been reflecting in the team about how, you know, as often happens, what's happening here as we talk about dealing with uncertainty and shocks, we get, the uncertainty and the shock erupts here, and we are finding ourselves struggling to hold it or feeling into how do we hold this and how do we hold the feelings that arise and the different places that people are in, because some people were there and some weren't. You know, as in our community, some people will be affected by the recession already, some people aren't. How do we bridge that? So the kind of invitation is to... it's just to reflect on that as holders of your community kind of transition process. Do you see what I mean? So that thing of seeing that what happens in transition parallels, mirrors what's happening outside, and in any transition group, you'll get that parallel process setting up. So I don't think we did a perfect job. You know, maybe we should have thought about it more. You know, maybe with a bit more something, we could have done it differently. Maybe we should have responded differently. But that's life, isn't it? And I think that's the kind of lesson for me is about being with a team that I absolutely trust their intention and that we hold it as well as we can, and with a community of people who also, you know, tell us what they need, find their own ways of digesting and so on. For those of you that don't know, there was a really deep sharing process last night, and Pete's going to talk a little bit more about that. There was also a truth mandala where I think a lot of people expressed some very deep feelings and felt, again, that transformation when we meet our fear and really let ourselves feel it in a shared space, it transforms into the desire to act. So that's been part of my kind of intention with this conference. It hasn't happened at all in the way that I expected it would. But I'm really grateful, you know, to you and for the team that we can do that, because for me that's a really important part of the journey. So thank you.
So I suppose, in a way, this is in response to you, a transition network response to Stoneleigh, amongst other things, and a response to the process, as Sophie was saying. And so what we offered last night was a sharing circle, and the structure of that was, for the first hour or so, we were just inviting people to, in a safe space, express their feelings, whether they'd been to Stoneleigh's talk or not. And out of that expression of feelings, there came a lot of questions. So I said, let's run on. And we talked for an hour and a half after that. And the process we went through in that talk, which we haven't got time to do now, was I started by saying that it had been my idea to invite Stoneleigh, because I read her blog regularly and I'd seen that she was coming to Europe. And it's been fascinating for me to watch the range of impacts actually felt by people. That's slightly surprising, and that's a really good reminder for me. So I then explored a bit with the group my own reaction to that sort of thing. What's my relationship with money? Because something that's been happening for me over the last few years is, through becoming involved in transition, I've become more able to look at my relationship with money, which actually is a metaphor with my relationship with fear. Because what I used to do with money was seek to control the future. I was seeking to insure myself somehow against God knows what, anything. What can happen in the future? And it's such an extraordinary thing to do, really, to seek to control the enormous range of things that could happen to me. And it's such an insecure and fearful and wounded thing to do. And because it is such a big deal trying to deal with that, actually I need a lot of resource in my life to enable me to start to explore that. And my resource has come from being in transition and having a tribe around me and feeling loved and therefore starting to feel able to explore these questions. So that was a context then for the following discussion. But what felt rather beautiful in that discussion was that it wasn't just a kind of abstract exploration of how we move from the fearful eye to a more grounded, in the now, communal we as an abstract thing. It was, what are the practical steps that we're taking in transition to do that? Not just the building of community, the building of relationships, but actually we got into talking about one particular person's dependence on a pension and what's going to happen to that person, and then looking at some of the transition money projects, not just the ones that are underway already, but that are emerging, about how do we start to pin together ways that actually enable people to get off the money grid, looking at time banks and let systems and complementary currencies and other ways of doing things. And it was when we started to talk about those practical projects that, for me, the gift that Stoneleigh had given really started to blossom in the room, because people were taking their feelings, feeling them, having really had that first hour to go around and feel them, but then using the energy that comes from the feeling to say, we can do real work with this, we can do practical work. And we can do practical work with a sense of urgency. There's a quote I'm going to shamelessly steal from the Totnes Heart and Soul Group about holding true patience in the face of great urgency. And that's so key, isn't it, for all of us, that you know, how do we combine, how do we take that tension between wanting to make things happen right now without necessarily finding the time and the space to explore inside ourselves and make the inner transformation, which has to be so interlinked with the outer transformation that we're seeking to achieve. So what I'd like to do now really is invite people who were in that sharing circle last night and sat through that process to comment or add to what I've just said.
I didn't stay for the full discussion, but I was there for the feeling sharing bit at the beginning, and I think it was an enormously important process. And I'd like to say, particularly to Sophie, I think bringing that in, you know, I think you actually did a good job of, the team did a good job of reacting and realizing that it needed some extra holding. And so I'm very grateful that that process was put in, even though it was a shock and it wasn't originally planned. And also that for me, it was really important being allowed to go through a grieving process and come out the other side. And it was really important that there were other workshops on the Sunday afternoon that were different and allowed to get back in touch with that positivity. And I think that worked really well. So thank you very much.
A lot of what we spoke about last night was to do with the I and the we. So I want to choose my words carefully here and say that I feel that I need to take a sense of responsibility for what happened on Saturday, in this sense that actually the information I now discover that was revealed by Stoneleigh, who, as I said earlier, I'd never heard about, has been freely available to me and certainly to anybody in the transition movement and to people all around the world for some time. It's my responsibility that I had chosen to perhaps not ignore it, but I had not given it my attention until Saturday. This brings us back to the thing about blame. I don't blame anybody else other than myself for not having informed myself about that. And it's, if you like, a little sort of warning sign to me, and I hope maybe to other people, that in the circumstance we're all heading towards, it's going to be very easy to say, why didn't somebody else do something? To which the answer is, why didn't I? And that, I think, among many other things I could say about what happened last night, is what I'm going to take away from that, is I need to make sure that I'm better informed about things that are out there to be discovered that I could have discovered last year at last year's conference, for example.
I was there last night, but I just had an insight, a fractal insight right now. So how much we have been bringing to people in our own transitions or to public in our villages, the same kind of shock when we present transition. So how we use this time for us to be in shock and be in this integrating that feel And by observing how we feel, also know more about the people that we are going to also be facing out there, and knowing that the same way that we found in this momentum right here together, a sweet spot to be, that there is a sweet spot that comes right after that anger, anxiety, and then we integrate this and go to the next step, that is the creative step.
After the... Hello. No, I've been waiting a little while. I was at the sharing meeting yesterday, and one thing that I really wanted to share with everybody here as well is I feel a much greater sense of responsibility as a core group member going back into the community to really think very hard about how we communicate these issues. I mean, if they have shocked many people the way they have, how are we going to actually recreate a local community based around local money? I mean, peak oil and climate change have been the main sort of twin themes people have perceived transition to be about, but money's definitely now firmly in front with the other two.
There's a saying in the government circles that it's the economy stupid, and we need to change that to it's the people stupid.
Hi. The things that I took away from the meeting, there were a few things, particularly about, I think what you said was this, that future expectations are not reality. So, yes, what she was saying was very scary, but we don't know how governments will react to an economic meltdown. We don't know how strong we are. I mean, and how strong it will get, the wider circle. I came away a lot more hopeful. And also that transition is our pension. That's what I...
the comparison that I want to make is that in the beginning of this year, I was relatively or quite seriously sick and bedridden, and the normal doctors had written me off and said, that's just what you have to live with. And I eventually ended up going to a Chinese acupuncturist, a lady who has hurt me beyond means in the last 6 months. It's like giving birth every time I go and see her. It is painful. And I keep going back because she keeps me alive and she keeps me... She made it possible for me to come here, for example. But the only way I did that was by slowly building up the trust for her. She didn't knock me off the first time. She built up that pressure. And I sense that Stoneley did put in the needles at the very, very painful point where I was almost ready to take it. The difference it would have made to me would have been to have a red light on the door when I went into the room to say, this is gonna hurt, but you are ready for it because this is done in a transition environment. She has been screened by someone. Peter has been reading her stuff for. Well, to me, it was really, the shock was when I came out of the room, I wondered if I had listened to a nutter a little bit. I knew a few of her credentials, but not enough. But after everything that we have processed, I really trust what she said, and I feel that it's time that we get that needle. It's an acupuncture point. We are an acupuncture point in the body of our wider community. So let's just take it.
So two more comments on this theme, and then...
I wasn't at either her talk or the session afterwards, so it's almost like I went to a different event. And having said that, I found it very easy to empathize with all the people I saw with very shocked expressions on their faces, because I've been reading stuff for years now. Every time I turn over another rock, I find something that just terrifies me, and it puts me in a depression for anything from 2 days to 2 weeks. But it reminds me that the old system will collapse. We've got no idea how or when. It may collapse in pieces in different places, or it may collapse all at once, and we don't know. But the thing to remind ourselves of is that when it does, what's going to hold us all together? And I imagine everybody in this room knows what's going to hold us all together.
Thank you. Okay.
Hello.
I think I wasn't at the Stoneley talk, but like most of us, I've seen a lot of videos and read a lot about predictions and things like that, and it is quite scary. The opportunity or the need that I see coming out of this is maybe among transitioners some kind of platform or some kind of medium for us to all share the facts and be really kind of on the cutting edge of what the facts are, because we all read different sources and we get different ideas, but I feel like there should be some concise place or medium or platform we could all get the facts as they are, you know, kind of like these state of the world books that come out, but if it could be some way that we could all share that or be aware of that on a regular basis, up to date kind of thing, because I think that's like a need. Like, we all go to our communities and, you know, we all have different ideas of where the world is and that. It could be quite a nice opportunity or something.
Thank you. That's something for us to think about. Just one kind of slightly technical.
If you see a job, it's yours, is what they say in permaculture. It's a bit scary.
Just one kind of slightly technical comment, really, on the Stoneley thing, which is that on her and her blogging partner on their website, they have been predicting collapse within 6 to 18 months for about 4 years. To be fair to them, to be completely fair to them, they are predicting on the basis of precedent, and we're in unprecedented times. You know, if you think about economic prediction, we are moving from a situation of ever-increasing amounts of surplus net energy going into economies to a situation of decreasing net surplus energy going into economies. And that takes us off the prediction grid, really. And what Stoneley and Ilagi didn't forecast was governments just faced with imminent financial meltdown, as happened nearly 2 years ago, just printing lots and lots and lots and lots of money, quantitative easing, you know. So it's not really their fault that they didn't predict that, you could say, although... So who knows what's going to happen? And really going back to what Sophie said, you know, what's important to me about this is not that we can predict what's going to happen or that we even try, although we must, as you say, inform ourselves as best we can. What's really important is how do we then react to what happens? And are we reacting to what happens with a sense of community, with a sense of reliance on others, with a movement to the collective we? And that's really the broader framing for transition which I'm drawing from this. So we all need to be able really to handle the shocks in our inner work as well as in our relationship with the outer world, and then go out and use that in our transition initiatives. So for the final part of this sharing, if I can remember my piece of paper, we thought it would be really good to look at the useful learnings from this weekend, and in particular, not just what we've learned as individuals, but what we're taking home with us now to our transition initiatives. So, roving mics again.
Yeah, just a big thanks to the Nine Carrots guys, because I thought their new idea in terms of taking transition and thinking into business was really inspirational.
One thing I'm taking back to my Let's group, which is over 20 years old and flourishing, is to applaud them and celebrate with them how well it's being received around the world and how much it's something we've been taking action on for a long time that is the future now. Very pleased with that. And I'm also taking back beginning work on an energy descent action plan. We have already interest from our local government to work with them. And even though I feel like we're not ready, I know in my heart to begin that process with our groups, because that's what we can do. And I've went to the workshop and stayed there even though I wanted to leave. And thank you to that person who spoke with me and had me stay. Thank you. because I now have that to take back to Australia. Thank you.
I came away very happy this morning because I've come here basically to find ways of engaging children, very small children, along the right route to sustainability. There was a fantastic Wild Zones workshop this morning that I attended, and I've come away with almost a fully fledged plan of how to develop this in the community, and I know it will work.
That's fantastic. Just one thought, actually, of course, because we now have a website up and running where there's an ability for all of us to share when we've tried things, what works, what doesn't work, just as importantly. So I know it's a pain to kind of record it all and put it up onto the website, but the more we do that, the more other people can learn from what we've stumbled or elegantly glided through.
Hi, everyone. My name is Katrina, and I'm the diversity coordinator, for those who haven't met yet. And really, I just wanted to invite you to take home a couple of questions. So I've kind of taken a step back and gone back to first principles during the course of this conference. And I've been asking sort of two questions. And the first is, actually, what is diversity? And I'd like to invite you to think about in the context of your own communities. So, for example, I've lived in all sorts of parts of London, and then in very different cities, such as in Winchester, and my response would have been quite different in each of those places that I lived. And my second question is, actually, you know, this diversity stuff, why bother? I mean, why are we doing this? And I'd like to invite you to think about the sort of the loss that might go with creating a different movement that's perhaps a little bit more diverse and inclusive, because I think that it would actually be quite a different animal. And thinking even about the sort of Stoneleigh stuff, then how would a diverse, really inclusive transition that integrates all the voices of all the vulnerable communities in Britain, how would that actually respond to an economic crisis? So I'd like to invite you to take those questions back to your transition initiatives and to explore them both in yourself and with the people that you're working with.
Okay, we've got time for one more comment. Sorry, we have got a slight surprise and then some closing announcements. So.
Okay, I'm right here, and I'm taking back to California that we are doing a good job. We don't have to do it right. We don't have to follow the 12 steps. And I also live in co-housing, and we're doing a good job there too. So thank you, and I'm glad I'm British.
Thank you. We get the words up. Inez? Inez didn't realise, but she's going to follow up what she did last year, which was helping lead in a song. And we're hoping that everyone's going to join in this song. Inez, come on. The words are going to be up there. I know. We thought we'd surprise you. See how resilient you are.
See how I can cope with uncertainty.
Yes.
Thank you.
One second.
This feels like sort of like karaoke. Yeah, no. Never mind. I just wanted to say that... As we're waiting, we've got 3 minutes, so I'll have to fill 3 minutes. Is it 3 minutes? Just waiting, okay. It was really... Oh, hello. You can. Who else is singing? Who else is singing? Huh?
Let's get those words up. So if everyone can see the screen.
They're all hidden under the chairs.
No words.
I was saying. My turn, Peter. I was just saying. Obviously, there's lots of feelings. I can feel them. I wasn't at this talk, but it's like. And what we've been doing when we were out there singing together is just a completely different way of communicating. And it's really a wonderful thing to do. You don't have to be an amazing singer. I'm not an amazing singer. I'm just going to stand up here and make a fool of myself. So I'd invite you to try different ways of communicating with people, or even sitting quietly in a room. We don't always have to talk and use words to be together, as useful as they are. So that's just my little spiel. I hope I don't have 5 minutes now. A small crash, okay. I could sing you a completely different song. Okay. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Okay.
So we all know the song, hopefully we all know, Oh Lord, Won't You Buy Me a Mercedes Benz. So are we ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm glad you are.
Give us a note.
Okay. Oh Lord, shall we go there? Where's Ben? Come here! Come here! Huh?
No, she's got to get the voice. She's got to get this.
No,
I did this last year. She's got to go first.
Oh, Ben. Should we go there? Yeah, okay. One, two, three. Oh, Ben, won't you ride up some much clearer... Oh, that's a bit... Oh, Ben, won't you ride up some much clearer rules? I can't find the forks and there's no serving tools. With you behind the counter, my angst is now soothed. Oh, Ben, won't you write up some much clearer rules? Oh, Ben, won't you find me some hot scrambled eggs? My friends all got coffee, but I just got dregs. The queue is so long, I've put up my feet. Oh, Ben, won't you find me some hot scrambled eggs? Oh, Ben, you're our hero, you're up there with Rob. Without your patent hurting, we're an ugly mob. My tummy is full now, my soul is at peace. But Ben, please don't leave us for a catering job.
So we're not quite such a tight team because we managed to keep that a secret from Ben. Okay, I get the really, really exciting closing announcements. Please, I'm not going to mention the word key at all. Oh, what's that up there? Yes, come on, Rob. Please, can you also, as well as leaving the key, take all your stuff? We've told you about shuttle buses running from 1 through till 3 every quarter of an hour. So do check at reception for lost property. Please, when you go home, take the time to brief your local group about what you've learned from this and to use it as you see fit. And then if you find really useful ways of using it, let us know what they were and tell us. I got a list of thank yous now. Simon Dalligan. Simon, are you in here? Let's do a ritual humiliation of him if he is in here. Oh. So Simon is used to work here, is from Transition Newton Abbott, and this whole thing just would not have happened without him. So we've had a mass of volunteers, again, without whom this whole thing wouldn't have happened. The Dame Hannah Trust, who this is their first ever conference at this venue. So they've kind of taken a big leap in letting us use it, and that's just absolutely fantastic. They would like feedback about the venue as well, so if you have time to do that, that would be great. And then I'd like again to thank Justin and Charlie, our wonderful caterers, who've also gone on a big journey with us. And so the very last one, I just wanted to tell you about the next conference, which is in November. Don't quite know the dates yet. It's going to be in Scotland. And Transition Network will be co-creating that with Transition Scotland support. And that's going to provide a chance to look at the cultural roots of a resilient and inclusive way of living within transition. Great. Thank you, everyone.
And I'd like to thank Pete, Rob, Sophie, and the entire conference team, all those on the reception who've worked day and night, and Ben at the back, and Mike and Ed, and yeah, Naresh, and all of the conference team who've really held this so beautifully.
Guys, oh, that's way too embarrassing. It's time for lunch, guys. Lunch, come on. Good journeys home, everyone.